We do come now to God's Word this morning. This morning we'll be in Hebrews chapter 6. We'll be reading together verses 13 through 20 of Hebrews chapter 6. So I invite you to turn with me in your copy of God's Word or in your pew Bible to Hebrews 6. We'll read together verses 13 through 20. Let's give our attention to the reading of God's Word. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God decided to and desired to share more, to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for your word, which you have promised to us will not return to you void. And so as we come before you this morning, Lord, we do ask that you would accomplish your purpose in us this morning using the preaching of your word, that your word would go forth in power and convict our hearts of the things concerning Christ, that you would show Christ to us, Lord, that you would allow us to appropriate all the wonderful promises that are yes and amen to us in him. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is great to see how beautiful and festive our church has become over the past several days. It's one of our favorite things to do as a family is to put up Christmas decorations, to put up our Christmas tree and all those fun trimmings together. We did it a little bit early this year. We put up our tree and everything before Thanksgiving. Maybe that's a little controversial, but we did it anyway. We put up all our stuff a couple weeks ago. And it's a lot of fun to put up your Christmas decorations early, but those of you that have young children know that when you put up your decorations early, it can be hard for the kids to wait. It can be hard for them to wait for Christmas to actually come. In fact, once we put up our decorations a few weeks ago, Benjamin looked at Allie and I and said, Mommy, Daddy, Christmas is tomorrow. We said, no, buddy, Christmas isn't tomorrow. You're going to have to wait. But of course, the next day he comes up to us and says, Mommy, Daddy, Christmas is tomorrow. No, buddy, you're going to have to wait. This is indeed a season of waiting and expectation. During Advent, we look back in remembrance to all those who waited for the birth of Christ, those who waited for the birth of the Messiah. We celebrate together that Christ came, that they didn't have to wait any longer, that the Savior was born. God himself came to us in the flesh. And now, as the people of God, we are waiting too. We look forward with expectation to the second coming of Christ. Christ has come and Christ will come again. That's what we celebrate each and every Advent season. Every Advent we acknowledge and remember that we are a waiting people. But waiting can be difficult, can it? Waiting even can be painful. This is one of the realities that the people of God have always had to face, the discomfort, the uncertainty, the pain of waiting. Because as we live now, in between the first coming and the second coming of Christ, we will always feel the constant strain, the constant weight of this world not being quite the way it's supposed to be. We feel the weight of sin and shame. We feel the uneasiness and the uncertainty, the longing for Jesus to come back and make things right. Perhaps you've known that pain, the pain of waiting. It's not hard to think of examples. Perhaps you've known that the pain, the loneliness of waiting for a spouse. Perhaps you've known the pain of waiting for the Lord to provide you with children. Perhaps you've known the pain of waiting for healing from illness or injury. Perhaps you've known the pain of waiting for reconciliation with someone that you love. Perhaps the discomfort and the pain of all these things feels even more real at this time of year. What are we to do with this feeling? What are we to do with this pain? The pain that we feel, the discomfort that we feel of waiting. Well, that's what we find in God's word this morning in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 20. The answer to this pain and discomfort of waiting for the people of God, the answer is hope. In our Advent series this year, we're looking at four key biblical themes that are especially important this time of year for us as the people of God. Four key biblical themes often associated with the Advent candle that we light: hope, joy, peace, and love. And so this morning, we turn our attention to the first biblical theme from Hebrews chapter 6. We turn our attention to hope. And we see from this passage that hope is the answer to the pain and the uncertainty of waiting that we experience as the people of God. And in particular, this passage shows us, in this passage we see just where we are to place our hope. In the uncertainty of waiting, where oftentimes we can feel as if we're being tossed to and fro by the waves, this passage provides us with three anchors to fasten ourselves to. Three anchors that we hope in above all else. First, we hope in the promise of God. Second, we hope in the purpose of God. And finally, we hope in the presence of God. So first, we anchor ourselves to the promise of God. If you look back at verses 13 through 15 with me for a moment, they say, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely I will bless you and multiply you.' And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise." This might seem like an odd passage of Scripture to study at Christmas time. Where are the familiar cast of characters? Where are Mary and Joseph? Where is the stable? Where are the angels? Where are the shepherds? And what's the deal with this guy, Abraham? It might seem like an odd passage. It might seem like an odd character, Abraham. But in fact, Abraham is one of the most important characters to understand in the entire Bible if we're to understand Christmas time. If we're to understand Advent, if we're to understand the pain of waiting. Because no one understood that pain more truly and more really than Abraham. The pain of waiting. That's why the author of Hebrews used Abraham here as an example to the churches that he was writing to. The author of Hebrews knew that the churches that he was writing to at this time were filled with people who were experiencing tremendous pain as the people of God, as they waited for Christ to come back. They were being persecuted for their faith, worshiping in secret, afraid for their lives. They were experiencing so much uncertainty. They were longing for Jesus to come back like he promised. And to make things right, they needed good news. And so do we this morning. We need good news. We need somewhere to place our hope. And where did the author of Hebrews direct this people? Where did he direct their hope? Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said to them, in essence, church, as you're experiencing all this uncertainty, as you're experiencing perhaps even this pain, remember, look to the story of Abraham. Abraham knew this pain. He and his wife Sarah were barren for 100 years. They too were waiting for a child. God promised a child, and still they had to wait. They had to wait decades for the promise of God to be fulfilled. And even after they received the promised child, even after they received Isaac and they were in the promised land, Abraham and Sarah never lived to see the promise of the land fulfilled. They never came to own the land. They lived in it as sojourners. They lived in it as pilgrims dwelling in tents. They had to wait on the promise of God. In fact, that's all that Abraham had. All he had was the promise of God. All he had to cling to and hope, all he had to hang on to, was the fact that God had sworn by his holy name, saying in the words of verse 14, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." And here's the point for us. Yes, the promise of God is all that Abraham had. But the promise of God was enough. The promise of God was enough to sustain him. It was all that Abraham needed. The substance of his hope, where he stood, was nothing less than the all-sufficient, life-giving promise of Almighty God. And so he waited, as it says here, patiently in hope, anchoring himself to the promise of God. And as it says in verse 15, thus Abraham, having waited patiently, obtained the promise. Beloved, what can we cling to in hope? What can we anchor ourselves to in the midst of the pain of waiting that we will always experience in this life, even at Christmas time when we're supposed to be happy, but sometimes we're not? What can we cling to in hope? The same thing Abraham did. The life-giving, sovereign promise, the word of Almighty God is supposed to be more sure and more certain and more true to us than even the circumstances that we experience. All the things in this world will pass away. The word of God says the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever. And so we cling to the promise of God in hope. That's our hope. The promise of God is enough, even for us today. And why is that? Because God, by his promises to his people, but we see in this passage as it moves forward, God, by his promises to his people, he reveals and confirms and establishes to them his unchanging purpose in history. That's what the author of Hebrews means in the words of verses 17 through 18. He writes, "So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us." Here's what this means here. God's promises to us, as his covenant people, guaranteed by his oath that he swears by himself, his promises show us his unchanging purpose towards us as his people. What is God's purpose? What is it? It's clear in the scriptures. God's purpose in all of history is to save a people for himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. If perhaps you all have always wondered, what is the story that God is writing in history? Where is all of this going? Why did he make this world? What is he doing with us? Scripture provides us with a very clear answer for what the purpose of God has towards us. It is this: the redemption of his covenant people and the renewal of all things in his Son, Jesus Christ. God has ordered all of history around this singular, unchanging purpose. This is the one thing he is unchangeably committed to, saving his people and making all things new in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what the entire Bible is about. That's what all of history is about. God is for us as his people. He's chosen us by his grace. He's chosen a people to save for himself in his Son. That's what verse 18 says. It says, this is what we who have fled for refuge can have the strong encouragement to hold fast to. This is the hope that we have set before us. What do we hold to? God has promised to save us in his Son. God has purposed to save us in his Son. Nothing in all of creation can stop him from fulfilling that purpose. And so here's the point for us. No matter what pain we feel as we wait in this sin-sick world, we know that God's purpose has not changed. He is renewing and remaking all things in and through his Son. God is for us and not against us. We have that promise to cling to above all else. As it's written in Romans 8, verses 31 through 32, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who shall be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with us graciously give us all things? God has given us Christ to show and confirm his promise to us. That's what we remember every Advent season. That's what we remember at Christmas time. This is what we celebrate. That not only has God given us his unshakable promises, not only has he showed us his unchangeable purpose, he has come to us himself with his very presence. And that's where this passage ends. This is the final reality, that the deepest anchor of anchors that we cling to in hope as the people of God. And so we celebrate at Christmas. God has come to us himself with his very presence. And so the author of Hebrews writes, as this passage comes to an end, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. These are some of the richest words in all of the scriptures. Time fails us to be able to unpack them completely, but we can answer this. What is the sure and steadfast anchor of our souls? What is our hope in the pain of and the uncertainty of waiting? Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, come to us. That's our sure and steadfast anchor. As it says here, Christ has gone before us as a forerunner. Here's what that means. It means he's gone before us where we could never go. Back to the very presence of God. He entered into, as it says here, the inner place behind the veil. By the blood of his cross, Christ pierced the veil of sin and shame that separated us from God. Say it another way, Jesus made a way for us back to God. You see, friends, God has not just given us his promises, which are sure and certain. He's not just shown us his unchanging purposes, which cannot fail. He has given us in his Son, Jesus Christ, his very presence. He's come to us himself to save us from our sins. This is where you can place your hope this Advent season. As perhaps you feel the pain of waiting, even though you feel that pain, you can cling to Jesus Christ. He is how you know God keeps his promises. He is how you know that God is unrelentingly committed to you, to saving and renewing and restoring this broken creation. As Paul writes of Christ in 2 Corinthians 1:21, all of the promises of God find their yes and amen in him. Speaking of Jesus there. And even now you can have the very real assurance, the hope that the presence of Christ is with you now. That's what this passage means when it says that Christ is a high priest for us forever, meaning Christ is always with us, spiritually caring for our every need by his Holy Spirit, according to the riches of his grace. That's our hope this Advent. Christ has come, Christ is with us, and Christ is coming back. And as we wait, he has given us the means of grace, the assurances to help us in the midst of this waiting. That's what we come to celebrate now in the Lord's Supper. In fact, we've had the privilege of celebrating both of the sacraments that Christ has given to us to confirm our faith today. We've had the privilege of celebrating both of these sacraments. Baptism, in which God promises to be a God for us and for our children. Baptism, which signifies the newness of life that we have in Christ, the cleansing that we have by faith in our Redeemer. And now we have in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we'll see in just a moment, we'll see visibly and tangibly that Christ has fulfilled the promise of the Father to save us from our sins. In this meal, we'll have confirmed for us that the reality that God is for us and not against us. And in this meal, we'll meet the living Christ and experience his presence by faith. So let's go to him in prayer now and ask for his help as we fix our hope on him. Let's pray. Oh, Father, help us. Our hearts are often wayward and fickle. Father, we so easily begin to hope and trust in the things of this world. As we experience the difficulty, the pain of waiting, fix our hearts on your promise. Confirm to us your purpose to save us in your Son. Let us meditate on your presence, Lord. Even in this meal, fix the eyes of our hearts on Christ, confirm to us our hope that we have in him. Would he be to us indeed a sure and steadfast anchor, a hope for us that has gone into your presence to save us from our sin? Confirm to us those promises, Lord, to us in this meal, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.